One of the most important keys to breaking through your success barriers is included in the military principle of intelligence. This principle of war requires that you do everything possible to determine the dispositions, plans, strengths, and weaknesses of the enemy, as well as the terrain and all other factors which determine the outcome of the engagement. The gathering, analysis, and disposition of military intelligence is so important that it can often be the determining factor in the winning or losing of a great battle or even a war. In World War II, the British captured an Enigma machine that was used to encode and decode German messages of all kinds. This became one of the top secrets of the war, and an entire department was set up outside of London to feed German radio traffic through this machine. The existence of the Enigma machine was so important that it enabled the Allies to accurately anticipate information about the German Army, Navy, and Air Force plans that were absolutely vital to the war effort. The secrecy surrounding the Enigma project was so great that when the British picked up the message that the German Air Force was going to bomb the city of Coventry, they allowed the bombing to go ahead without warning to the civilian population, rather than take the chance that the Germans would discover that an Enigma machine had fallen into British hands. The gathering of intelligence is so important today that a recent announcement, for the first time in history, placed the budget for the Central Intelligence Agency at $26.8 billion per year, an amount equal to the gross national product of some small countries. Sometimes a single piece of information can have a major impact on the outcome of a battle or even a war. In World War II in the Pacific, the Japanese military mastermind was Admiral Yamamoto, who both planned and led the attack on Pearl Harbor. As a result of an intercepted radio message, the Allies learned that Yamamoto would be visiting a Japanese base in the Pacific, flying in on a specific schedule for the meeting. Armed with this piece of information, the American Air Force was able to dispatch a tightly planned mission that shot down the plane and killed Admiral Yamamoto. The loss of this one officer was a major blow to the Japanese war effort in the Pacific. In business and in personal life, your ability to gather information about what is going on in your marketplace can be absolutely indispensable to your success or failure against tough competition. American corporations today spend more than $1 billion each year doing market research and analysis to determine exactly what products to develop, for what customers, with what features, and at what price they are most likely to be successful in the marketplace. As we enter into the 21st century, the information age, your ability to continually upgrade your information, your knowledge, and your skills is critical to your success. One piece of information at the right time can enable you to leapfrog ahead of your competition and make a breakthrough in your marketplace that will give you a market lead that your competitors will not be able to match. Charles Handy, the management consultant, talks about the I3 model of power and success in the information age. I3 stands for information, intelligence, and ideas. The gathering of information from all sources, synthesized and distilled by experience, leads to higher levels of intelligence on the part of the person who has it. Higher levels of intelligence lead to a greater quality and quantity of ideas. And ideas are the true source of wealth for you today and in the future. There is a direct relationship between the quantity of new ideas that you come up with and the quality of the ideas that will eventually result from them. Each person has about 4 ideas each year driving to and from work that, if acted upon, could make them a millionaire. In times of rapid growth of information and technology, more and more opportunities are opening up for more and more people to make breakthroughs in their own work and in their own lives. Sometimes, one insight is all you need to change your entire future. Walt Disney, Art Linkletter, and their wives were visiting Copenhagen in Denmark in the early 1950s. They visited the famous Tivoli Gardens, a family amusement and recreation park in Copenhagen, one afternoon. Walt Disney was absolutely fascinated by the fact that the entire Tivoli Gardens was so meticulously laid out and clean. It was teeming with families of parents and children having a good time. every single light on every display worked perfectly. Walt Disney turned to Art Linkletter and said, "Someday I'm going to build a park like this in America." From then on, this idea became a burning obsession for Walt Disney. The concept of Disneyland was born. Disneyland and later Disney World in Orlando became the two most successful amusement parks in the world. They formed the foundation for the great Disney Empire, which stretches around the globe. And the entire Disneyland empire was largely triggered by that one observation and the idea that it sparked in the mind of Walt Disney. In your business and your work, it's absolutely vital that you get the facts on an ongoing basis. It's important that you get the real facts and that you refuse to settle for the apparent facts, the assumed facts, the hoped-for facts, the accepted facts, or even the previous facts. Jack Welch calls this the reality principle. His question in every new situation is always, what is the reality here? What are the facts? Everyone is in the business of problem-solving and decision-making throughout their entire lives. In fact, life is a continuous succession of problems, large and small. Your success in life is largely determined by your effectiveness in solving problems and making good decisions to improve your life and work and achieve your goals and objectives. And your success in problem-solving and decision-making is largely determined by the accuracy of the information you have to work with. The more information you have from more sources, the more likely it is that you will have sufficient facts and details for you to make a decision that will bring about the desired result. As a management consultant to many companies over the years, my primary contribution to strategic planning sessions and my work with groups of senior executives has been to help them to ask and answer the hard questions that determine the future of their businesses. Who is your customer? What does your customer consider to be of value? What benefits does your customer pay for when he or she buys your product or service? What is your unique selling proposition? What is it about your product or service that makes it superior to any product or service in the current marketplace? What is your competitive advantage today? What will it be tomorrow? What should it be? What could it be? What will your customer consider to be of value tomorrow? What steps can you take today to assure that your products or services are superior to that of your competitors in the markets of tomorrow and next year and beyond? These questions force the key decision makers to think through exactly what it is they offer in the marketplace and what they will have to be offering tomorrow in order to survive and thrive in a greatly changed economic environment. Remember, fully 80% of the products and services that people are using today did not exist 5 years ago. Fully 80% of the products and services that people will be using in 5 years are still being developed as we speak. If you have young children, when they grow up 10 or 15 years from now, they will be working for companies that do not today exist. They will be producing and marketing products and services that do not today exist. They will be using skills, abilities, and knowledge that does not today exist. They will be doing jobs that don't exist and selling to customers and markets that don't exist today. And if your career is going to stretch over the next 10 or 15 or more years, this will be your situation as well. Remember, the very best way to predict the future is to create it. Your ability to acquire accurate intelligence and information today so that you can make better decisions for tomorrow is as important to your success as any other activity you undertake. The good news is that your mind is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes. The more that you feed your mind with new information and ideas, the better and more capable it becomes at taking in and retaining. There's a lot of talk today about the fact that incomes have leveled off and sometimes declined for a great number of people. This is true, but only for those people who have stopped learning. Almost everything you know about your work will be obsolete within a few years. If you work in the stock market where information is changing minute by minute, virtually everything you know will be obsolete within a few weeks. You must be upgrading your knowledge and intelligence continuously. I spoke to a woman recently who took 2 years off from her work to travel and upgrade her education. She told me that when she came back, the entire industry had changed so dramatically that she was forced to start over again at the beginning. Nothing that she knew about her industry, the products and services being sold, or the people in it, was true after 2 years. It was almost as if all her previous experience had been for nothing. The people who continue to get additional information and to upgrade their intelligence and their ability, their knowledge and their know-how, are the most fortunate people in our society. They are seeing their incomes increase anywhere from 8% to 25% per year. And the men and women whose unique combination of intelligence, ideas, intuition, and abilities enable them to control large corporations and make decisions that affect millions of dollars and thousands of people are some of the highest paid, most respected, and most valued people in the world today. The fact is that we live in a meritocracy in America and throughout most of the industrialized world. This means that you are largely paid on the basis of your merit, your ability to make a valuable contribution to the world around you. In short, you are paid for results. Everything you do that increases your ability to get more and better results for which people will pay increases your value and the amount that you receive. The highest paid people in America today work an average of 59 hours per week. They read an average of 2 to 3 hours per day. They belong to industry associations and organizations that continually feed them with current information and ideas on their fields. They attend annual conventions, and they go to every session available that has new insights that can help them to be more effective in getting the results for which they are responsible and for which they are paid. The statistics on higher education and its value to you over the course of your lifetime are quite remarkable. A person who graduates with only a high school diploma can expect to earn about $600,000 over the course of his or her lifetime. With an additional 2 years of community college, a person will earn an average of $1,040,000, or an increase of $220,000 per additional year of education in additional lifetime income. A person with a 4-year degree from state college can expect to earn an average of $1,400,000 in a working lifetime, or $200,000 of lifetime income per additional year of education. A person with a master's degree, requiring about 6 years of advanced education, can expect to earn an average of $2 million in lifetime earnings, or an additional $300,000 for each year of advanced study beyond college. A person with a PhD, a doctorate, requiring 7 to 9 years of study, can expect to earn $3 million over his or her lifetime, or an increase of about $500,000 in lifetime income per additional year of education beyond the master's level. Continuous learning is the minimum requirement for success in your field. Since information and knowledge in every field is doubling every 2 to 3 years, this means that your knowledge has to double every 2 to 3 years as well, just for you to stay even. This brings us to a very important point on intelligence and information. There are three different kinds of education that you can acquire, either deliberately or in a random, haphazard fashion. These three levels of learning are maintenance learning, growth learning, and shock learning. Maintenance learning refers to your keeping current with your field, but this merely keeps you even or stops you from falling behind at a more rapid rate. Many people think that reading an occasional book and keeping current with the magazines and newsletters in their field is the equivalent of adding to their education. But this is not the case. It is the same as checking the stock market reports each day to find out the sales prices of various stocks and securities. This information does not add to your knowledge of the companies, the market, or the investment potential of a particular stock. It merely keeps you up to date. Maintenance learning is absolutely essential. It's very similar to light physical exercise. It keeps you at a particular level of fitness, but does not increase your level of fitness or improve your conditioning in any way beyond what it already is. The second type of learning is growth learning. This is the kind of learning that adds knowledge and skills to your repertoire that you did not have before. For example, if you decide to learn to speak Spanish so that you can expand your business opportunities into the Hispanic market, every word, phrase, and sentence that you learn is a form of growth learning. You are acquiring information that you did not have before that enables you to do things that you could not do before. Some of the very best thinkers in the world today are producing some of the very best material and ideas today that you can use to improve your life and business. You can acquire this information by just reaching out your hand and picking it up in the form of books, articles, tapes, and courses. The third type of learning is called shock learning. This is where something happens that contradicts or reverses a piece of knowledge or understanding that you already have. Shock learning can be extremely valuable if you act upon it. Peter Drucker, in his book Innovation and Entrepreneurship, says that the primary sources of innovation and breakthroughs in a company are the unexpected success or the unexpected failure. Something happens that is completely inconsistent with the expectation, with what should have happened. This shock can give you insights that can enable you either to take advantage of a major change in the marketplace or guard against a serious reversal. Unfortunately, most people are creatures of habit. When something happens that is completely unexpected, they choose to ignore it in favor of the old information with which they are more comfortable. This is why most of the major breakthroughs in business and industry come from outside the particular business or industry. You would have thought that Microsoft would have led the way in software and technology to surf the World Wide Web. But it was an upstart company, Netscape, that came out of nowhere with a new technology and achieved a $6 billion capitalization on the New York Stock Exchange in 1 year. It turned the industry completely upside down. Rand Corporation invented the computer, but it was IBM who took the concept and turned it into the most successful commercial enterprise in computers in the world. The Xerox Research Laboratories invented the personal computer, but they concluded that it had no place in the marketplace of photocopiers that Xerox dominated. It was companies like Apple, IBM, Compaq, and then Dell and Gateway that took the personal computer and made it a multi-billion dollar worldwide industry. There is a phenomenon in business and industry called NIH, or Not Invented Here. Many companies, organizations, and individuals are completely closed to any idea that they did not think of personally. If it was not invented by them, they conclude that can be of no value to them. The head of one of the major British business industrial groups was recently quoted in a London newspaper as saying that only British ideas about business are of any value to British companies, and nothing coming from America or any other land has any application to the British situation. This kind of attitude can be fatal to a business that develops it. Americans, on the other end, have a wonderful quality that has made America the most dynamic nation in the world. Americans are extremely pragmatic. Americans do not care where the idea comes from. Their only concern is, does it work? It is like a new medicine that will cure an illness for which there is currently no cure. Americans do not care who invented the medicine. They only want to know whether or not it works. And if it works, they will take it and use it faster than virtually any other national culture or group. American entrepreneurs and businesses also have another quality that has given the United States leadership in the world of technology. They are willing to take a new idea and run with it immediately, fixing it up and improving it as they move along. Our major industrial competitors, Japan and Germany, are so concerned about making a mistake that they will spend years perfecting a new piece of technology before they bring it to the marketplace. Now, in some cases, this works in their favor, and they develop a tremendous reputation for quality. But in the world of high tech, it is hurting them tremendously in that by the time they have perfected a technological innovation or breakthrough, the Americans have already brought it to the market and seized the high ground in the minds of the customers. Norman Augustine, the remarkably perceptive Fortune 500 executive and past president of Martin Marietta Corporation, has written a series of observations about American business. In his recent book, Real Time, he talks about the importance of speed in an era of rapid change. He points out that the key to business success today is contained in the term time to market. You can have the best idea in the world, but if somebody else beats you to the marketplace with it, that company takes the high ground. In the work of Al Riis and Jack Trout on positioning, they show that the company that gets into the market first with a new product innovation or idea usually becomes permanently associated with that new product or service. Any competitor that comes into the market afterwards runs the risk of being perceived as an imitator or as an attempt to copy the market leader. Knowledge is the primary source of value in our world today, and your ability to acquire the critical knowledge you need and then to apply that knowledge rapidly to your world to get better and faster results for which people will pay you is the key to your success and the key to breaking through any success barriers that may be in front of you. Many companies today are now taking stock of their intellectual capital. They are appointing knowledge executives or knowledge experts to locate and to identify the different forms of knowledge that exist within an organization. Today, the primary assets of any organization walk out the door at 5 o'clock. In fact, your company could burn to the ground tomorrow, but as long as your staff, with their brain power, survived, you could walk across the street and start over again the next day. Everything is brain power, and your ability to acquire more and more useful brain power is virtually unlimited. There are three forms of knowledge that give an individual and an organization value today. The first form of knowledge is contained in the specific skills and abilities, the core competencies that you have that make it possible for you to get the results for which you are paid. We say that your most valuable asset is your earning ability. It's your ability to earn money. It's your ability to apply your intelligence and your energy to your world to produce useful goods and services that people want and need and are willing to pay for. Everything you do throughout your life is aimed at increasing and enhancing your earning ability. People who make large salaries are not necessarily smarter than many people who make smaller salaries, but they have strategically and intelligently developed their earning abilities to a very high level, and they have learned how to sell that earning ability at a high price in a competitive marketplace. You must resolve to be among the top 10% in your field in terms of the specific skills and abilities that you need to do your job. If you're in sales, your goal must be to be absolutely excellent at the critical success factors of selling, such as prospecting, establishing rapport, identifying problems and needs, presenting your product or service as the best solution to them, answering objections, closing the sale, and getting referrals and resales. If you are a company owner or manager, you must be absolutely excellent at assembling the necessary resources to bring competitive products to your market in a timely fashion and at a price that people are willing to pay. You must become absolutely excellent at picking the right people to work for you, delegating to them, supervising them properly, and getting maximum results from your team. Whatever you do, there are a series of critical skills, the total of which adds up to the amount that you can charge for your services in a competitive marketplace. Sometimes, one additional skill can greatly increase your value. The second type of knowledge that is a major source of value for individuals and corporations is the knowledge of the company's products and processes. Remember, the primary asset of any company resides between the ears of the key people in that organization. Many people carry keyman insurance that covers them for millions of dollars should a key person pass away suddenly. These companies recognize that the loss of a key person can be very harmful to the future of an organization. The more you know about your company's products and processes, what goes into them, and how the company operates internally, the more valuable you are. The key to your success in every field of intelligence and knowledge is to overlearn. Never assume that you already know all that you need to know. Always assume that there is an enormous amount still to be learned. The third type of knowledge that represents extraordinary value for a company is the knowledge of the customers, the markets, the suppliers, and the way the industry works. This type of knowledge can be worth a fortune to an organization. This is why companies will often pay enormous salaries to hire away highly competent people from industry competitors. They are buying the brain power and experience of that individual rather than taking the months and years to develop that brain power and experience in someone else. Here is a little-known rule that is important for you to be aware of. Good people are free. Good people don't cost anything. Good people actually contribute far more in net profitability than they take out in salary. A company can hire all the good people it wants all day long, and it can pay them anything that it takes to get them to come over because, in the final analysis, they don't cost the company anything at all. They contribute net bottom-line dollars to the organization. This is why all the best companies have the best people. The second-best companies have the second-best people, and the third-best companies are on their way out of business because they simply cannot compete with the first and second-best companies. One of the reasons why continuous training and development is so important for every individual and every organization is that this is the only way that you can upgrade your human skills aside from buying the skills in the open market. The most profitable companies spend the very most on training. The second most profitable companies spend the second greatest amount on training. And the companies that are on their way out of business are always talking about training, but they never do. Your earning ability, the intellectual capital you carry around between your ears, is what makes you an extremely valuable resource in today's marketplace. But remember, your earning ability is becoming obsolete at an increasingly faster rate because of the explosion that is going on in information and technology. You owe it to yourself, to your family, to your company, and to your future to be a learning machine. You must be continually gobbling up new ideas and information from all sources so that you can get into the top 10% and then stay there. One good idea is all you need to start a fortune. And you can only be assured of getting that one good idea by continually bombarding your mind with ideas of all kinds from all sources. Every change or improvement in your life will come about as a result of your mind colliding with a new idea of some kind. This new idea will give you a different perspective and cause you to see things in a different way. As a result, you will take different actions and get different results. The law of probability applies to ideas and information. The more ideas and information you surround yourself with, the more likely it is that you will have the right idea at the right time, in the right situation, to make the right decision. We talked in an earlier session about the principle of integrative intelligence. The people who rise to the top of every organization are the ones who have the greatest accumulation of ideas and knowledge available to them with which to make better decisions with more positive potential consequences. You must become an idea sponge. You should organize your life so that ideas are continually coming at you from all directions. You begin with very clear goals and objectives for yourself and for every part of your life. One of your goals must be to earn an excellent living, to be paid at the very top of the income scale that is possible in your industry, if not higher. One of your goals should be to double your income within the next 2 or 3 years, and then double it again and again. Countless thousands of people who are less talented than you are doing this on a regular basis, so you can as well. You then determine what kind of results you're going to have to get and what kind of contribution you're going to have to make in order to be worth the kind of money that you aspire to earn. Look around you. Who else is making the kind of money that you want to make? What are they doing differently from you? If you're not sure, go and ask them. They will always tell you. What I've found is that successful people are always willing to help other people to be successful. If you call them or write to them or take them out to lunch or coffee and ask them, they will tell you what to do more of and what to do less of. They will tell you the key turning points in their own lives. They will tell you the books they read, the tapes they listened to, and the insights that they gain from experience. Whatever your goals, realize that you will have to learn and develop expertise in a new subject area for you to achieve a goal that you have never achieved before. Whenever you set a new goal, you ask yourself, what will I have to learn to achieve this goal? Dedicate yourself to lifelong learning. Remember, the future belongs to the competent, not to the well-meaning. The future belongs to those people who are really, really good at what they do. Many people think that as soon as they get the job they want, they will work hard and become really good at that job. But excellent performance is the key to advancement and promotion. It is only when you become really good at your current level that you are promoted upward to a higher level. Until you get good, get better, and become the best at your current job, you don't move. The people who are working away on themselves will pass you by on either side. Here are the rules for continuous learning and continuous personal development. They require willpower, self-discipline, and self-control until you have developed the habit of continuous learning. But once you've developed the habit, the rewards and benefits you will enjoy will far outweigh the efforts and the energy that you invest. First, remember that reading is to the mind as exercise is to the body. Read for at least 1 hour every day in your chosen field. Read the best books being written by the best people. Ask for recommendations from other successful people, and then get those books and read them. When you read, take careful notes. Underline with a red pen and make all kinds of stars and exclamation points in the margins so that you can find key points when you reread the material. After you've read a good book, sit down with a spiral notebook and write out the most important things that you have learned. You'll be amazed at how many of these ideas are then transferred into your long-term memory and become available for you when you need them later. Subscribe to and read all the magazines in your field. Keep current with what is going on. Read the newsletters and the parts of the newspapers that apply to your area of activity. Remember, one key piece of information at a critical time can make all the difference to you. Take all the training you can get. Attend every course that comes along that can give you additional knowledge and skill that you need to lead your field. Remember, all education is free. It's free in the sense that if it's helpful to your life and to your career, your return on investment will be 10 times, 20 times, and even 30 times your investment in the learning experience. Listen to audio programs in your car. A 6-hour audio program usually contains the best ideas of 30 to 50 books on a variety of subjects. By listening to audio programs, you turn driving time into learning time. You turn your car into a university on wheels. Above all, remember that continuous learning saves time, energy, and life. It enables you to achieve far more in a shorter period of time than in any other way. Continuous learning puts you in complete control of your life and your future. Continuous learning expands your freedom of choice and increases your opportunities in all directions. Continuous learning increases your income and improves your lifestyle. Continuous learning builds self-reliance, self-confidence, and self-esteem. An ongoing commitment to gathering the central intelligence of your life and your work will make you a master of change rather than a victim of change. Continuous learning will give you the ammunition you need to blast through any success barriers that may be standing in your way. In military strategy, one of the most important principles of war is the principle of the maneuver. One of the responsibilities of the general is to move and position military forces in such a way that it furthers the accomplishment of the mission. Maneuver is also a corollary of the principle of the mass, or concentration, for it is another means of achieving a decisive superiority of combat power at a critical time and place. In warfare, movement and positioning must always be undertaken with the intent to place the enemy at a relative disadvantage. Proper movement and positioning frequently achieves results that otherwise could only be achieved at heavy costs in men and materiel. The ability to maneuver effectively in warfare can enable a small force to defeat a vastly superior force. One of the greatest military disasters of all time took place at Cannae in Italy in August of 216 BC, when the army of Hannibal of Carthage enveloped and destroyed 70,000 men out of an army of 76,000 Roman soldiers. It was a superb example of maneuver and double envelopment. It relied for its success on the tactical brilliance of an invading army with an inferior force fighting against a much larger and better armed Roman army. Hannibal spread his army out in a straight line, with his heaviest infantry and cavalry on the outside flanks. He put his weaker infantry in the center. When the Romans attacked the line, the center caved in like a bowl. The Romans, smelling victory, poured into the bowl as the Carthaginians withdrew. But the heavy infantry on the flanks stayed firm, and soon the Romans were almost completely encircled. At the critical moment, the heavy infantry on either flank attacked inward and closed the trap. The result was a defeat that took Rome almost 10 years to recover from. Napoleon Bonaparte was the master of the flank attack, or the sweeping maneuver. Time after time, in dozens of battles, he would appear to be leading his soldiers in a direct assault, and at the critical moment he would swing his cavalry and heavy infantry around the right or left flank of the enemy and hit them from the side, rolling up the enemy front like a carpet and causing the enemy forces to disintegrate and flee in confusion. One of the most important battles of the Civil War was the Battle of Chancellorsville, where Robert E. Lee and the Confederacy were greatly outnumbered by a large Union army under the command of General Joseph Hooker. It took place on May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1863, in the Wilderness area of Virginia. Lee learned through his intelligence sources that Hooker had not erected defenses on his right flank. Taking a tremendous gamble, he sent half of his army, 30,000 men, under the command of General Stonewall Jackson, in a wide circling movement to attack Hooker's right flank. The army marched all day and attacked in late afternoon. The attack was a brilliant success. It caught Hooker and the Union army completely off guard and threw them into complete panic. By the time the dust had settled, Hooker had withdrawn his entire army back across the Rappahannock River after suffering casualties of more than 17,000 men dead and wounded. In World War II, General Erwin Rommel, greatly outnumbered in northern Africa, was able to throw the British all the way back to Egypt by maneuvering his armored division so quickly that the British were forced to flee, leaving all of their tanks in the field. It was only when the Eighth Army under General Bernard Law Montgomery was rebuilt with huge numerical superiority that they were able to counterattack against Rommel at El Alamein and force the Germans out of North Africa. In Europe, General George S. Patton, Jr. used a single or double envelopment strategy repeatedly as his Third Army raced across France toward the German frontier. Patton's belief was that there was nothing more terrifying than the sound of enemy fire on your rear. He would mass his tanks for a full frontal assault, and when the enemy moved forward to meet the assault, he would swing an entire tank column in a circular maneuver around the enemy flank aimed at taking out the enemy's headquarters and radio control. As soon as the German troops, bearing the brunt of the main attack, heard enemy fire on their rear, they began to collapse and retreat. Patton was able to pull off this maneuver time after time, eventually capturing more than 330,000 German troops in a series of rapid encirclements. In the Gulf War, General Norman Schwarzkopf attracted the attention of the Iraqi army by threatening to attack across the Saudi border toward Kuwait City. Meanwhile, he withdrew 330,000 men and moved them 100 miles west under cover of darkness. At the critical moment, he launched what he called his Hail Mary plan, when the entire Allied army drove forward with breakneck speed across the completely undefended Iraqi desert, striking the enemy in the rear and totally destroying its capacity to make war. Throughout history, the great generals have relied upon the principle of maneuver to bring about victories where apparently no victory was possible. Today, in modern business, the principle of maneuver is equally as important. Only today we call it the principle of flexibility. We know that because of the incredible speed of change, all bets are off. No matter what the correct answers were yesterday, the answers have changed and are different today. Other ways that we can apply the principle of the maneuver today are through creativity and through entrepreneurial thinking. Business is like warfare in many respects, except that no one dies. In warfare, the objective is to win and to reestablish a new status quo in which the winner is in a superior position than he was before the conflict. In business, the objective is also to win, but to win customers. It is to find better, faster, more effective ways to offer the customer products and services that he or she wants and needs and is willing to pay for. The key to winning is to do this better and faster than your competitors can. And all of business today is a process of leapfrogging. First, you get an advantage in the marketplace. Then your successful competitor will leapfrog you with a new advantage, a lower price, or an additional feature. Your job is then to leapfrog your competitor and take the lead. Your competitor's job is then to leapfrog you again. And it goes on and on and on, like the Energizer Bunny. Peter Drucker was recently asked in a forum about the key roles of management. He replied that the job of management has always been the same. It consists of two activities, innovation and marketing. And the two are very closely tied together. What is the purpose of a business? Many people think that the purpose of a business is to make a profit, but this is not quite correct. The purpose of a business is to create and keep a customer in a competitive market where everyone else is trying to win the same customer in their own way. The result of creating and keeping customers in a cost-effective way is a profit. In this sense, profits are the cost of the future. It is only with profits that a company has the resources to continually upgrade its products and services so that it can continue to win the customers in the future. Where there are profits, there are great futures for the company, for its employees, for its customers, and for all of its stakeholders. Where there are no profits, there is no future at all. And the customer is always the one who decides. In politics, as a voter, you get an opportunity to choose your representatives every couple of years. As a consumer, however, you get a chance to vote for the companies that will serve you every time you spend a dollar. The election process never stops. Today, you can be a hero. Tomorrow, you can be a bum. Today, you can have customers beating down your door. Tomorrow, because of changes in the market and in the competitive offerings, you can be out of business. And the process never stops. If the jobs of management are marketing and innovation, what then is the aim or purpose of marketing? And the answer is that the purpose of marketing is to differentiate your product or service from those of your competitors. If you can do this, you can sell enough of your products or services to continue in business. If you cannot differentiate your product and create the perception of unique added value through your advertising and promotion, you are always forced to sell your product on the basis of price. And the unfortunate fact is that there are no companies that survive when they are forced to sell their products and services like commodities at the lowest possible price. Eventually, the profit margins become so thin that they are forced out of business. Every year, you read about large companies that are forced into bankruptcy by an absolutely ruthless, impatient, and demanding marketplace. What people want today is the highest possible level of quality combined with the highest level possible of service, all at the lowest possible price. And customers are not loyal at all. A customer that has bought from you for years will walk across the street tomorrow if your competitor offers him or her something better or cheaper. Of course, lack of customer loyalty creates incredible opportunities for you. This means that no matter how happy customers are today in buying from your competitors, they are always up for grabs if you can offer them something better. Your ability to use your originality, creativity, entrepreneurial skills, and your capacity to innovate make your future virtually unlimited in a fast-changing competitive marketplace such as the one we face today. Your counterpart in the organizations with which you compete wakes up every morning thinking about how he can take your customers away from you. You must wake up every morning thinking about how you can take his customers away from him. There is a story that illustrates this point. Every morning, on the Serengeti Plains of Africa, a lion awakes. That lion knows that it must run faster than the slowest antelope if it wants to eat that day. And every morning on the plains of the Serengeti, an antelope awakes. That antelope knows that it must run faster than the fastest lion if it wants to survive another day. The moral of the story is simple. Whether you are a lion or an antelope, when the sun comes up, you had better be running. The rule is that whatever is working for you today will stop working sooner or later. Your job is to be continually playing down the board, continually thinking about your next move. Your job is to develop a variety of strategies, tactics, and approaches to your marketplace, any one of which may or may not work, but all of which give you a range of options so that if one approach is unsuccessful, you have something else ready to go immediately. Walt Disney was once asked by an executive if he got angry or frustrated when other people stole ideas developed by the Disney Corporation. His answer was very instructive. He said, "Don't worry. We will develop new ideas and concepts far faster than anyone can steal them." This is your job as well. There are several ways to increase your maneuverability and flexibility in the highly competitive marketing battles that you face every single day. These are methods that I have learned and developed over time and which I have shared with many large and small corporations. The first is to create what are called big, hairy, audacious goals. These are goals where you imagine increasing your sales and your revenues by 500 or 1,000%. Imagine growing your business to 10 times its current size. What would have to happen for you to take yourself from where you are to 10 times the size in the next few years? Companies like Compaq, Dell Computer, and Gateway Computer are already experiencing growth rates like this. Many small and medium-sized companies are growing by 50 and 100% per year in extremely competitive markets. These are like the Macedonian army of Alexander the Great, vastly outnumbered but extremely well-organized and disciplined. It was therefore able to defeat every army sent against it, and the successes of the army ultimately enabled Alexander to become the master of the known world by the age of 32. Allow yourself to fantasize, to dream, to visualize your business at 5 or 10 times its current size. What would have to happen? What would you have to do? What changes would have to take place in your operations or in the marketplace? What kind of products or services would you have to develop? What ways of marketing those products and services would you have to develop? Remember, there are three ways that you can dramatically increase your sales. You can increase the number of your customers. This has been a strategy followed by Walmart for many years, enabling Walmart to become the biggest and most profitable retailer in the world. Walmart keeps opening huge megastores in small markets that enable it to attract and absorb huge numbers of customers from many miles around. The second strategy is for you to sell higher quantities of products or services to each new customer. If you simply doubled the size of the average sale and kept your current number of new customers the same, you'd double the size of your business. If you did this every year, you'd soon experience growth rates up to 500% and 1,000%. Many companies break even on their basic products and then make all of their money on the add-ons. Construction companies will win construction contracts that offer them very little profit, but they will make all of their money on the change orders that seem to be inevitable and unavoidable in any construction project. Many car companies will break even on the basic automobile and make all of their money on the extras. Many restaurants will make a little money on the basic food but earn large profits on the drinks and desserts. Computer companies will make a small profit on the computer and large profits on the peripherals and programs that go along with it. By increasing the amount of sales to each new customer, you can dramatically increase your revenues and your bottom line. The third way you can increase your revenues is by getting a larger share of customer rather than a larger share of market. Once you have won a customer, you can then serve that customer so well that he or she comes back to you and buys repeatedly. It may cost you a good deal of money to get the customer to buy from you for the first time, but each subsequent time that the customer buys from you costs you less and less in promotion and advertising, and therefore yields higher and higher profits. Sewell Cadillac in Dallas, Texas, has created a service strategy around the motto, Customers for Life. They have responded to virtually every customer need and complaint with new policies that have eventually locked their customers into them so closely that their customers will pay more for the same car and will come back year after year throughout their lifetimes to buy and own cars that are sold to them by Sewell Cadillac. Their customer service innovations are so creative that they could fill an entire book. Retailers of automobiles and other products come from all over the world to tour the Sewell Cadillac facilities and ask questions. They have become a legend for developing their customers in depth and getting them to shop with them over and over again. What are some of the things that you could do to serve your customers better than anyone else in your marketplace? What is it that your competitors are doing today that your customers really like? Who are your most successful competitors, and how could you copy them in your own business? The most successful people in business are optimists, and as you know, the operational question for the optimist is, how? Once you have decided that you are going to double, triple, or quadruple the size of your business and your profits, your only question is, how? And if anybody else has done it for their business, you can probably do it for your own. Read all the business magazines. Read the stories of people who have or are accomplishing extraordinary things in their own businesses. Look for parallels in other industries that you can use and apply to your business. Look for success stories where a company in one part of the country in one business is doing something that you may be able to modify or adjust to use in your business in an unrelated industry on the other side of the country. Once you've set a clear goal to grow your business rapidly, you will find that you are more sensitive and attuned to all kinds of different ways that you can achieve this goal. You must keep your eyes open. Stay alert and watchful. The ideas are all around you, and if you keep looking for them, you will definitely find them. Another key to flexibility is to practice zero-based thinking in everything you do and in every part of your business and life. Zero-based thinking requires that you draw a line under all your previous decisions on a regular basis. You ask yourself this question, knowing what I now know, is there anything that I'm doing today that I wouldn't get into again if I had to do it over? Knowing what you now know, is there any personal or business relationship with another individual that you wouldn't get into today, knowing what you now know? Is there any banking relationship, customer relationship, or supplier relationship that you wouldn't get into today, knowing what you now know? Is there any person that you would not hire or promote or get into business with again today, knowing what you now know? Is there any job that you are doing today that you wouldn't take on again today if you had to do it over, knowing what you now know? Is there any product or service that you have brought to the marketplace that, knowing what you now know about that product and about the market, you wouldn't bring out again today? Remember that 80% of all products and services eventually fail in the competitive marketplace, in spite of the best thinking and the best efforts of the people behind them. The rule is to feed the opportunities and starve the problems. Instead of throwing good money after bad, treat your company like a turnaround. Imagine that you have been brought in to turn around your company, which is on the verge of going bankrupt. Cut back, cut out, eliminate, minimize, or discontinue all activities that you would not get into again today if you had to do it over, knowing what you now know. One of the very best ways to run a successful company is to treat it as though it is on the verge of going broke because of mismanagement. Imagine each day when you go to work that your company has areas of high profitability and success, and it has areas of low profitability and potential failure. Apply the 80-20 rule. Remember that 20% of your results and profits will come from 80% of your activities. Force yourself to identify the 20% of activities and possibilities that represent 80% of your future, and then discontinue the rest. You can apply zero-based thinking to any investment of time, money, emotion, or energy. Is there anything in your life that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into if you had to do it over? And how do you tell if you have a zero-based thinking situation in your life or in your work? Simple. It's called stress. Whenever you experience stress, resistance, frustration, or negative emotions of any kind, you should step back and ask yourself if you would get into that situation again today, knowing what you now know. In most cases, the answer will be no. Once you've decided that you would not get into a situation again if you had to do it over, your next question is, how do I get out and how fast? According to the American Management Association, fully 70% of all the decisions that you make will turn out to be wrong over time. Imagine, 70%. How could this be? You are an intelligent, educated, experienced, mature adult. You've carefully thought through most of the decisions and commitments of resources that you've made. How could you turn out to be wrong 70% of the time? And the reason is because the answers have changed. When you made the decision, it was the very best possible decision given the information that you had at that time. But today, with the rapid rate of change and the turbulence in the marketplace, the answers have changed. Today, the decision is no longer a good decision, and you can tell, because you wouldn't make it the same way if you had to do it over again. In times of stability, the ability to remain firm and constant and unchanging over time is perhaps a virtue or a good quality. But in times of turbulence, flexibility and the willingness to admit that you have made a mistake, the willingness to change your mind, are the real virtues. The person who cannot change his mind in the face of new information is not a person of high character and resolution. This is merely a person to whom great responsibilities cannot be entrusted. There are three statements that you can learn to say to increase your level of flexibility. The first of them is, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Be willing to admit that you are not perfect. Be willing to admit that fully 70% of the decisions that you have made in your life have turned out to be wrong. Be willing to face up to the fact squarely and to make new and better decisions whenever necessary and whenever required. The second thing you can learn to say is, I changed my mind. It is absolutely amazing how many people spend most of their energies attempting to defend against admitting that they have changed their mind. Sometimes people feel that it is a sign of weakness to be wrong or to change your mind. On the contrary, it is a sign of strength and flexibility to admit that you're not perfect, that you have made mistakes in your decisions or commitments. The third thing you can learn to say is, I don't know. It's impossible for you to know everything about even one small subject in the whole world. Don't be afraid to admit your ignorance. If someone asks you something and you're not sure of the answer, tell them that you don't know or that you're not sure. If it's important, you can find out, but often it's not important at all. The less time and energy you spend trying to cover up the fact that you made a mistake, you've changed your mind, or you don't know, the more time and energy you'll have to be creative, flexible, and maneuverable in the ever-changing marketplace, and the greater success you are likely to have in everything you attempt. One of the marks of successful people is that they are decisive. They don't necessarily always make the right decisions, but they make their decisions right. Instead of engaging in paralysis by analysis, they gather up as many facts as possible, and they double-check the most important facts. They make the very best decisions they can based on the facts, and then they remain open and willing to accept feedback and self-correct. A lion in the Serengeti Plains will make an average of 29 runs at an antelope herd before it manages to bring down a single animal for lunch or dinner. In the marketplace, you must be willing to face failure and disappointment continuously. You must be willing to make several runs at the competitive marketplace in order to find the place or the opportunity to break through. In order to succeed greatly, you must be prepared to fail occasionally, and often to fail repeatedly until you've developed the necessary level of experience and ability that enables you to make right decisions more often than wrong decisions. Flexibility in military terms is defined as the ability to adjust the plan to actual circumstances and to search for a way to achieve the main aim by alternate means when necessary. Originality of ideas and approaches emerges when you are willing to consider the possibility that you could be completely wrong about your most cherished notions and ideas. Test your assumptions. What are they? What are you assuming about the person or situation that may or may not be true at all? What are your hidden assumptions? What are the assumptions that you might have that you have not even identified or articulated? Sometimes people think that the key to business success is to sell more of a particular product or service. This can be either a conscious or unconscious assumption. But perhaps the key to real success is to sell an entirely different product or service, or to sell the existing product or service in a completely different way. For example, in residential real estate sales, there are many companies that will offer to sell a home for significantly less than the standard commission. They will often offer to sell your home for only 3%, rather than the 7% that most other companies ask. A friend of mine, faced with this situation when attempting to list a home, countered by increasing the commission rather than decreasing it. The homeowner said that he had been offered a listing agreement for only 3% of the sales price. My friend, in turn, offered to sell the home for 10% commission rather than the standard 7%. The homeowner was flabbergasted. How could the agent be asking for a 10% commission when he was competing with someone offering to sell the home for a 3% commission? My friend explained to the homeowner that if the house was listed at 3%, very few agents would make any effort to show the house. They would prefer to show other houses upon which they received a higher commission. On the other hand, if the commission was vastly higher than the average, every real estate agent in the area would be looking for someone to buy that house. And the more qualified potential customers who saw that house, the more likely it was that the house would sell at a higher price. The homeowner would actually end up with more money by paying a higher commission than he would receive if he sold it paying a lower commission. My friend got the listing. Sometimes people think that the key to increasing their sales is to reduce their prices. But the better strategy is to increase the perceived value of the product or service. The entire purpose of marketing is differentiation. It is to create perceptions of unique added value around your product or service in the mind of your customer. Customers today do not buy Rolex watches because they are excellent timepieces. An inexpensive quartz or digital watch tells time as accurately as a Rolex, but a Rolex watch costs 100 times as much or more. Why? It is because a Rolex watch has a perception of unique added value that an inexpensive quartz watch does not possess. The keys to success in the marketplace of today and tomorrow are entrepreneurial thinking, creativity, flexibility, and the ability to maneuver in a rapidly changing and competitive environment. Every day, you must be thinking about ways that you can sell your product or service in better, faster, newer, more convenient, or higher value ways to your customer. You must be looking for ways to create perceptions of unique added value. You must be looking for better ways to sell and better customers to sell to. You must be continually looking for ways to improve your product or service offering by making it more attractive than your competitors to your prospective customers. You must be sensitive to the comments, critiques, and complaints of customers and recognize that anything that a customer says can be an insight that may enable you to adjust your product or service offerings in such a way that you can take those customers away from your competition. You are a genius. Once you have decided what you really want, there is no problem that you cannot solve, no obstacle that you cannot overcome, and no goal that you cannot achieve. Try again, and then try something else. Become a moving target. The safest strategy in times of turbulence is to be in constant motion. It is to continually adapt, adjust, and respond differently from before. Your creativity is like a muscle. The more you use it, the faster and more flexible it becomes. The more of your time and energy that you dedicate to finding newer, better, faster ways to sell your products and serve your customers, the better you will feel, the better results you will get, and the more rapidly you will crash through any success barriers that stand in your way. And there are no real limits except the limits that you place on your own mind.